darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. And I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I'm standing in your love. Standing in your love.
Amen and good morning, man. We had a little music going on in the background there, didn't we? It's good to see all of you here this morning. I want to welcome you to Grace Bible Fellowship. If you're a guest with us here today, there's a bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." If you'll fill that part out, you can tear it off and put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came in this morning, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Well, I've got kind of a building update for you this morning, and you can do the math, okay? Hopefully. It's not rocket science. I've actually rounded up for you. But again, we shared with you a while back that the building was going to cost approximately $6.1 million. And right now we have $3 million in the bank and we have $2 million in pledges. And so things are going really well. If you can put those two numbers together, you'll figure out what I'm talking about. And so things are going great. And I want to just... thank you for praying. Number one, thank you for praying about how the Lord would have you be part of this. And thank you for praying that one of the things that I talked about praying about, and it may have been in the devotional, is that we would pray that that the Lord would bless every gift. You know what I mean? I mean that he would bless and expand every gift and use it for his glory. What I love, to be honest with you, you can't survive without the big gifts, but I love the small ones. Nothing is too small for Jesus, amen? I love the story The little boy gives him a few fish and a few loaves. He blesses it and feeds over 20,000 people. Amen. If you count the women and children that aren't talked about, right? And so I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for just praying that God would provide for his agenda for Grace Bible Fellowship so that we could build a building where we would reach generation after generation way out into the future. Your children, your grandchildren, and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to be blessed. And we're going to have a facility where more and more people can come to Christ. Amen? And more people can come and be discipled for the kingdom of God. And so we're super excited about that. I want to thank you for all of you who've been praying for those things, and keep praying. We still have a little ways to go, so keep praying. And many of you have given sacrificially. And Jesus taught us this in the Bible. The way that you know, or the way that you measure the value of your gift, is this. What did you have to give up to give the gift? Amen? Jesus taught us that, taught his disciples that, when rich person after rich person went by and dropped a bunch of money in the plate. And then a poor widow came by and dropped a penny in the plate. And Jesus said, I tell you that she gave more than all the people that came before her. And that's how you know the value of a gift. And I point that out to you because that's how you know the value of God's gift to you. What did he give? What did it cost him? What did he give up? He gave his one and only son, amen, to become sin for us so that we could be saved, so that we could be set free from sin and death and have eternal life in a perfect place called heaven. And so many of you have given sacrificially, and I want to thank you for that. And that's just a huge blessing as well. But it's going to be a bigger blessing to you than it's ever going to be to any of us, those of you who have given sacrificially. So let's take a moment now, and let's just go to the Lord and thank him for what he's done and what he's doing. Heavenly Father, again, you've given up everything for us. You gave the life of your one and only Son to become sin for us and die in our place, so that we could be set free and inherit eternal life. And Father, regardless of what goes on around us, we know that you are the sovereign Lord of all. Regardless of who our next president is, we praise you today because we follow the sovereign Lord of all the earth. You have authority over the heavens and the earth. In fact, the Bible says you melt the hearts of kings and of rulers, and you turn them any way you choose. So we worship you today, and we continue in faith in you today. And Lord, we pray for our leaders of this country that you would turn their hearts towards you. And we pray that you would turn our hearts towards you, that you would turn our hearts towards you so that we put our faith in you and not man. The Bible says the fear of man will prove to be a snare to you. It will prove to be a trap in our lives. So help us to fear you. Help us to worship you and put all of our faith and all of our trust in you. And today, Lord, we ask that this service be about you. And we ask that it not be about us, but that we would take time to get our hearts and our minds focused, entirely focused on you this morning, bringing glory to you, that would be our goal, and it would be our purpose for being here. More than we ask for you to bless us, we ask that you would help us be a blessing to you. and that the people of Grace Bible Fellowship would worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. And we thank you and we praise you. There's just no way we can thank you enough for all that you've done for us. And may this service bless you today and glorify you and advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love for me go down. Did there such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Hold the wonderful cross, hold the wonderful cross, bids me come and die and find that I wish you. Your name, worth the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Hold the wonderful cross, hold the wonderful cross, bids me come and die. Find that I may truly live. Hold the wonderful cross, hold the wonderful cross, all who gathered here by grace draw near and bless your name. So amazing,
All right, so this song is a new one I've been listening to for quite a few years. But in the last 2 weeks, I want to ask this question before I preface this. Who in here has ever come to church and you feel like it's been an atrocious week and you've crawled through the doors? You don't even deserve to be in here, but you knew you just needed to come and meet with Jesus. So this song is one of my go-tos when I feel that way. And so if that tells you kind of the last couple of weeks I've had, you might hear in my voice the attempt at not having an upper respiratory infection. It's just been one of those weeks for me. And, you know, I used to go to church and think that the people who were on the stage had it all together, that every week, you know, they were just this close with God, you know, and it's like, man, how do I get there? And in reality, we have really tough weeks too. And sometimes we come in here knowing, man, we just need to meet with God. We need to meet with our brothers and sisters. And so I've been listening to this song a lot this week, and I wanted to share it with you guys. It's really easy to follow along, so let's go for it. Even now, I can see darkness is fading. Walls of fear, brick by brick, will come down. Your light will shine, lifting me out of the shadows. Here and now, I know where my breakthrough is found. I'm gonna sing my way out of the valley. I'm gonna shout my way up to the mount. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise, and I'm gonna push through till every lie crumbles. I'm gonna dance in the midst of the rain. I'm gonna rest in the arms of the Father. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise your name. There's a sound welling up from within me. Heaven's power calling hope to arise. So I'm standing tall, here in the strength of your victory, oh. 'Cause when you come, every wrong is made right, oh. I'm gonna sing my way out of the valley. I'm gonna shout my way up to the mountain. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise, and I'm gonna push through till every lie crumbles. I'm gonna dance in the midst of the rain. I'm gonna rest in the arms of the Father. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise your name. Whoa. Fear and depression, shame and confusion, you have to bow, oh, you have to bow. All lesser things that demand my attention, you have to bow. Oh, you have to bow. Fear and depression, shame and confusion, you have to bow. Oh, you have to bow. All lesser things that demand my attention, you have to bow. Oh, you have to bow. Fear and depression, shame and confusion, You have to bow, oh, you have to bow. All lesser things that demand my attention, you have to bow, oh, you have to bow. I'm gonna sing my way out of the valley. I'm gonna shout my way up to the mountain. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. Oh, and I'm gonna push through till every lie crumbles. I'm gonna dance in the midst of the rain. I'm gonna rest in the arms of the Father. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I'm gonna sing my way out of the valley. I'm gonna shout my way up to the mountain. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. And I'm gonna push through till every lie crumbles. I'm gonna dance in the midst of the rain. I'm gonna rest in the arms of the Father. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise your name. Whoa, I'm gonna praise your name. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Father, we thank you. No matter what condition we come to church, that we can come and meet with you and know that you will be here amongst us. So, Father, I pray for those that are going through difficult times, but even more so, I pray for those where everything was going great this week. We've been talking in youth a lot lately about how easy it is to put you on the back burner when things are going our way. So I pray, God, that we would make you a priority and that we would have the desire to follow after you every day, no matter our circumstance. And God, if somebody's been through a rough week, if they have not sought you the way that they should, I pray that this morning is the reset for them. I pray that you would meet with each and every one of us here and that we would leave changed. God, we do all of this for your glory, whether it's pledging for a building, all this talk of the new building. God, it's such an amazing blessing, and it's exciting to see the direction that you are taking us. But God forbid we ever think that this is about us. I pray that if it's the building, if it is handing out bulletins, if it's serving the Lord's Supper, whatever it is, Father, that we would do it for your glory and not any recognition for ourselves. Father, give us ears to hear your word this morning. We need it now more than ever. It's easy to look at the politics of this world and lose hope, but we know the last page of the Bible. Shannon and Grace sang that song this week. What an amazing truth that is, that we know the last page of the Bible. We know you're in control. We know how this will all end. So while things look bleak around us, help us to be the light that shines in the darkness. We thank you for this beautiful morning you've given us. We thank you for the time and the freedom that we have to come here. Pray that you bless it this morning and that we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 5. I didn't get it all in your notes this time. Normally I do, but we're going to be in Joshua chapter 5. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. Does anybody need notes that didn't get them? Everybody okay? Cool. So this morning, we're going to talk about whose side is God on. Some of you were wondering that when you were watching football yesterday, right? I certainly was, as an OU fan. I'm joking, but specifically in the area of life we're in now, when this election is coming up, this is an important question. Whose side is God on? We're about to find out. Joshua chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the Mediterranean Sea, heard how the Lord had dried up all the waters of the Jordan River before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, and that there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. And so the Lord had shown all of Israel's enemies from the west to the east that nothing could stop the people of God as long as they were aligned with him. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. And so Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all of the people who came out of Egypt were circumcised, but all of the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all of that nation, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. How important is it that we listen to the voice of the Lord and make sure we're not listening to man? Amen. Critical. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children, whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised, they had not circumcised them along the way. So for whatever reason, the Israelites refused to honor their covenant with the Lord by continuing to circumcise their baby boys while they were spending time in the wilderness. And that's just one more example of how they rebelled and refused to listen to the Lord their God. And so the Lord told Joshua, in effect, Joshua, my people need to show me that they're willing to listen to me. My people need to show me that they are willing to realign themselves with me and my word, my covenant, before going any further. And then when they do, I will provide for them and I will protect them. In fact, the very first battle would be completely victorious simply because they had realigned themselves with God and followed his instructions. And he would conquer Jericho, this unreal city. He would conquer Jericho without their help, as they trusted in him and obeyed him. And they would be reminded once again of all that God could do on their behalf if they remained faithful to the Lord their God. Look at verse 8. Now when they had finished circumcising all of the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. And as you know, the Passover meal was a memorial that they were commanded to observe that would remind them of the Lord's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And it would also provide for them in the future and how or provide the strength they needed and the faith they needed to face the future, believing that God would protect them and provide for them. And for the church, the Lord's Supper, which we will take today, is a reminder of how the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us from the slavery of sin and death. And it's an encouragement for us to once again to walk with him by faith. Now look at verse 11. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna. But they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. God provides, amen. They no longer needed manna. They were in the Lord. They were in the land the Lord had led them to, right? So they no longer needed manna, and it ceased. Verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man. Now, most scholars believe that this is an earlier manifestation of Jesus Christ before his incarnation. But the Bible says he looked up and he saw a man who was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, indicating that he had come to exercise judgment. And so Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather I indeed come now as the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's army, the Lord's host, said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, Joshua remembered what the Lord God himself had said to Moses when God revealed himself on Mount Horeb to Moses. Now look back at verses 13 through 14. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand, And Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" The man answers, "Neither. I'm here as the commander of the Lord's army." And Joshua threw himself to the ground in worship and said, "I am your servant. What do you want me to do?" Now, it's important to remember that Jericho was positioned between the Jordan River and the land that God had promised his people. And that city was a formidable opponent. It was fortified to the point that it put the fear in the hearts of anyone that would even try or think about overthrowing it. Jericho, you need to do the research on this sometime. It's amazing the fort Jericho was. But it was such an impenetrable fortress that it would take its enemies months to just try and start. They couldn't get in. There was no way. And you see when you know what Jericho was like. And so it would take its enemies months just to try to starve these people inside the walls. But the Bible says the Lord had already melted the hearts of all the kings in Canaan. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart, and this is important for us to remember right now, amen? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it any way he chooses. He directs it wherever he pleases. I love what Abraham Lincoln once said. And if you want to know your pastor's heart, here it is right here. This reflects my heart. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I know that the Lord is always on the right side, but it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. I know that the Lord is always on the right side, but it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and his church should be on his side." And so God was telling Joshua, "Look, let's set the record straight once and for all. I'm not on your side, nor am I on the side of your enemies. I'm on my side. And if you want victory, then you better realign yourself and your people with me and my kingdom." Bottom line, God does not align himself with man and his parties. God has one agenda, and it's his kingdom and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. And so God is saying to Joshua, as I believe he is to us today, "Joshua, you need a miracle. You've gotten through the Jordan River and you know who got you there. But now you're faced with Jericho. And you need a miracle." So Joshua, now this is a Chris Irvin paraphrase. Don't miss this. "Joshua, give your entire attention to what I'm doing right now. And commit to seeking me first and foremost and following me one day at a time." And don't miss this. "Quit worrying about the enemy and trying to devise ways to defeat them. Instead, focus on me and being obedient to me, and I will lead you and these people to victory." And that is absolutely critical for Joshua to understand, because listen, the Lord is about to instruct him to lead his people to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times for 7 days. And on the 7th day, you can read all about this in Joshua 6 later on if you want to. On the 7th day, they're going to blow horns 7 times, then they're all going to scream and the walls are going to fall down. Now, most experts believe Jericho had 2 walls around it. It was built up on a hill, which made it tough enough as it was. But then it had two walls around it. And the first wall, the outside wall, they believe was 6 feet deep. I mean, how do you penetrate that? But they believe the second wall was 12 feet deep. And so it's critical for Joshua to understand what God's instructing him to do because they needed a miracle. And this leads us to point number one in your notes this morning, if you're taking notes. Joshua and the Israelites would defeat their enemies at Jericho because they were on the Lord's side, because they had realigned themselves with the Lord and His word and His covenant. You see, the reason they won the battle wasn't because God was on their side. The reason they won was because they were on the Lord's side. And so Israel would conquer this incredibly fortified city of Jericho one day. And then listen to this. Two chapters later, be defeated by a small and otherwise insignificant enemy because they forgot to stay focused and remain faithful to the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 7 in your notes or in your Bible, beginning with verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things that were under the ban, for Achan from the tribe of Judah took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, and he said to them, go up and spy out the land. So the men went up, and they spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua, and they said, look, dude, they're small and insignificant. Do not let all the people go up. That's a waste of time. They're small. They're few. So don't let all the people go up. Verse 4. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, and they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them and struck them down so that the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And so the loss at Ai was due to Achan's sin. God had given the Israelites a direct command not to keep anything for themselves that came from this wicked city called Jericho. But Achan sinned against the Lord and took several things for himself, took them back to his tent, hid them in his tent. And so the city of Ai handed the Israelites a humiliating defeat that day that nobody could even make sense of. Which leads us to point number two. Number one, Joshua and the Israelites would defeat their enemies at Jericho, which was basically impossible because they had realigned themselves with the Lord God and they were on God's side. Number two, Joshua and the Israelites were defeated at Ai because they were no longer on God's side. God was never on their side. He's on his side. But they were handed this humiliating defeat by this little insignificant people because they were no longer paying attention to what God was doing. They were no longer listening to God. They just marched forward thinking that this is going to be a no-brainer. We're going to wipe these guys out. And the reason they lost the battle, don't miss this. The reason they lost the battle was not because God was on their enemy's side. The reason they lost was because they were no longer on the Lord's side. And so once again, the real question we should be asking ourselves, the real question we need to ask ourselves is not, can we trust God? The real question that we might need to ask ourselves is, can God trust us? Can God trust you and I to continue to stay focused on Him instead of letting what's going on TV and on the internet and all that mess run our lives? The real question is not, can we trust God? He's proven it to us over and over and over. The real question is, can He trust us to march forward and stay focused on preaching and teaching the gospel and making disciples instead of getting all wound up all around the axle over politics. We're not commanded to preach and teach politics. We are commanded to preach and teach the gospel and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them sound doctrine, everything that God has put in His Word. That's who we are. We've already been given victory, as Matt said in his prayer. But once the sin of Achan had finally been dealt with and Achan had been punished, then the Lord once again gave Israel victory. And you can read all about that in chapter 8. The Lord gave Israel victory over Ai, which leads us to point number 3. Number 1, Joshua and the Israelites would defeat their enemies at Jericho. Don't miss this. Don't let this just fly over your head. Because they had realigned their lives with God. They had realigned their lives with His Word, with His covenant, and they were on the Lord's side. Number 2, Joshua and the Israelites were defeated by this little insignificant place called Ai because they were no longer on God's side. They had taken matters into their own hands. And because they had taken matters into their own hands, they were no longer on God's side. Number 3, Joshua and the Israelites went on to defeat Ai when they repented and returned to the Lord's side. When they repented and returned and realigned themselves with God and His Word. God only considers one side, and it's His side. He only considers one side. And that's His side. So what about the church? What does this teach us about our influence? A lot of people are talking about what the church should be doing. What does this teach us about our influence as the Lord's church? A, in your notes. When the church's allegiance, meaning loyalty and devotion, when the church's allegiance is for one of the political parties, our influence as the Lord's church. Excuse me, I got off. Let me get back to A. When the church's allegiance is for one of the political parties, the church loses its ability to represent God because God represents Himself. He doesn't represent either one of those parties or the third one. So when the church decides to give its loyalty and devotion to one of these political parties, the church loses its ability to represent God. Bottom line, God does not align Himself with any man-made party. God doesn't align Himself with any man-made thought, dream, or anything else. And according to the Word of God, God is the only standard man should ever align himself with. But when a church aligns itself with man-made political parties, it's no longer able to represent God. B. When the church makes up its own rules about how to deal with, best deal with the enemy, best deal with politics, or anything else on this planet, it no longer has any God-given authority on the playing field of life. When people start making up their own rules about how to deal with the enemy, how to deal with politics, or anything else in their life, they no longer have any God-given authority on the playing field of life. Now, let me stop here real quick. Because if you know me at all, you know that I think you and I need to go vote. You know, we've been doing this together for 14 plus years. And you know that I think that you and I need to do the research and we need to go vote biblical values. You know that without me getting into a big long deal about it, okay? So it's not that Pastor Chris cares nothing about politics. It's that Pastor Chris gets scared when that becomes our primary purpose in life. Because God's word is the sole authority for every area of life. Not some king, not some president, never some man or some woman. God's word is the sole authority on every area of life. Listen to what the Bible says. Isaiah 55 in your notes. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, God says, are not, let me say that again, for my thoughts, the Lord says, are not your thoughts. You think they are, but I'm letting you know, they're not even close. For my ways, the Lord says, are not your ways. In fact, my ways are higher than your ways, as the heavens are from the earth. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. The Lord sees what's in our hearts. Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man. Listen to this. This is why it's so dangerous to follow the voice of man. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's why we can't afford to follow a man or a woman, because it leads to death. We have to follow the authority of God's word. Psalm 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. I submit to you this morning that only when our allegiance is to God and his word alone, only when our allegiance, don't miss this, is to God and his word alone, that is the only way we will ever have a kingdom impact on the parties and the people that we affiliate with. Only when our allegiance is to God and his word alone will we ever have any kind of kingdom impact on the parties and the people that we affiliate with. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. And Lord, again, I love the way your word straightens me out every day, straightens me out every week. When I spend time with you in the wee hours of the morning, whew, it's just amazing. It's amazing. Lord, as we turn our attention to participating in the Lord's Supper together, you guys go ahead and start passing out the elements. As we turn our attention, Lord, we want to focus on what your word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. On the other hand, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, listen to this. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely him. So in the quietness of this moment, ask him if there's anything between you and your relationship with him. If there's anything pulling you away from him. And in this moment, just take a moment to repent. Take a moment to repent and ask him to help you realign yourself with him. And then ask him if there's any attitude in you that's keeping your heart from being completely his. And then repent. Asking the Lord to help you to return to him and realign your heart with his heart and his word. Lord, as we give thanks to you today for the sacrifice of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross that takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for sending your only Son. We thank you for what you gave up so you could give us this gift of eternal life. We thank you that you sacrificed your Son on the cross. You watched him take our sin upon himself and die in our place. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us and becoming our personal sacrificial lamb that would forever wash us clean and make us as white as snow, the Bible says, when we believe in you as God's only Son and God's only Savior. And we thank you that your word says there is now no condemnation for those who believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. And so today we honor you as we participate in the Lord's Supper. We look back at your sacrifice. We look inward at our hearts, at our own lives, and we look forward to your return. And we declare that you, Lord Jesus, are the sovereign Lord of all. Please forgive us for living in fear. Please forgive us for lining or fearing man. And lining up with man-made parties. And Father, as we partake in this meal, we pray that you would help us to return to you and your word. Help us to realign our lives with your kingdom. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul proclaimed in 1 Corinthians 11, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the precious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken on the cross for our sins, so that we might be forgiven once and for all, the Bible says, and receive eternal life by placing our faith in him as our substitution. The Bible says when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, in the same way, we thank you for this cup that represents the blood of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that was poured out on the cross to wash us clean, poured out on the cross for our salvation in this new covenant in which we now stand, the covenant of grace. And the Bible says in the same way he took the cup, and after they had eaten, he said, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Will you join me in prayer this morning? You may be here, you may be watching today, and you would like to believe God's truth, and you would like to understand the gospel, understand salvation, and how your sin separates you from God. And maybe today you feel your need to be saved from your sins. The Bible says God himself came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life, and died in your place for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you would like to quit trying and hoping that you're going to be good enough to somehow earn your way to heaven. And you realize today, "Lord, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to get there. I want to just accept your free gift of eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins." If so, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this. And these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. "Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh, that you are the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today I want to put my trust in you and your sacrifice for me on the cross, and believe in your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in desperate need of your mercy and your forgiveness. So today I'm asking for just that, your mercy, your forgiveness, your power to turn from my sins, and your grace to submit to your authority. Forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. And forgive me for rejecting you all this time. Forgive me for buying into Satan's lie that somehow I'm missing out if I follow you. I'm ready for the abundant life that only you can provide. I'm ready to be yours, for you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you and allowing your word to make its home in me. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen." Matt, you lead us in our closing song, if you would, please, sir.
Grace, what have you done? Murdered for me on the cross. Accused in absence of all. My sin washed away in your blood. words to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. Scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. Death, where is your sting? Your power is as dead as my sin. The cross has taught me to live, and mercy in my heart now to sing. The day and its troubles shall come. I know that your strength is enough. Scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. And it's all because of you, Jesus. It's all because of you, Jesus. It's all because of your love that my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. Oh, to be just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. Oh, you're the hope in my heart. Jesus, the hope in my heart.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. You guys be seated for a moment, if you will. I want to share a few things with you real quick. We have several things coming up in the bulletin. Ladies' night out, downtown trunk or treat. We have all the people we need, but we still need more candy. Is that right, Judy? So we're good? Okay. No more candy. We praise the Lord, we have all the people we need and all the candy we need. Amen. There's a security team training coming up you might want to make note of if you're on the security team, November 9th, senior adult lunch coming up. And then Operation Christmas Child Collection Sunday, November 24th. If you've gotten one of those boxes, one of those Samaritan purse boxes that we're taking and we're filling up with all kinds of stuff, and you want that to go to another country and give Christmas to a child in another country that otherwise would not have Christmas, and also have a gospel, the gospel presented to them, you can pick up one of those boxes over there, and there's a bunch of them laid out flat over there. You can build you a little box, go to Walmart, fill it up, so on and so forth. There's instructions over there with it as well. And I think that's pretty much all I needed to tell you. If you do feel led that you want to join us in building this building, and you feel led, the Lord leading you to give to that, you can do that in one of three ways. You can put it on an envelope and put it in the little wood box back there. You can do online giving. You can mail it to our P.O. box and do it that way, whichever way you want to do that. And again, I want to thank you for all of you who have given to the building fund so that we can continue to do more and more for His kingdom. right? Not our kingdom, his glory. And we're going to be a blessing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we see more and more people come to him in the future, even long after I'm gone, which is not that far off at my age, right? But we'll be able to see people come to Christ and be discipled for generations and generations way out into the future. What are you doing up here?
I'm supposed to be stalling you right now.
Okay. All right, well, let's pray. While he's stalling me, let's at least go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and what a joy it is to be here. Amidst all these precious brothers and sisters in Christ, and what a great blessing it is. Wow, just to 14 plus years. It's amazing the unity this church has had in 14 plus years. And the witness and all the people that have come to Christ, all the people that have been baptized and have grown in your word in their relationship with you. And even some of them have gone home to be with you. And we thank you and we praise you for this family that you started on Valentine's Day in 2010. We thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right.
Are you ready?
Can I get Shelly up here, please?
Oh, I know what this is. Every time Shelly comes up on stage, it's a dead giveaway.
But it's a good one.
It's a good one.
Is Andrea?
Yeah. So come up
this
here.
Is your reminder that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So as always, we get to the last Sunday in October and present them with a gift. As always, I had absolutely nothing to do with this gift. I'm simply the person who holds the microphone and presents it. All credit goes to LaDonna on this one. She always comes up with great ideas. So there are many, many ways that Chris and Andrea have blessed us over the years. But this year, for Pastor Appreciation, we want to focus on the blessing they have been to our families. Chris and Andrea have discipled and baptized our children. They have, and grandchildren. They've hosted showers, performed weddings, vow renewals, baby dedication ceremonies, and counseled all of us on how to be the best parents and grandparents we can be. They led us in the foundation of GBF and are now leading us through the building of a new church that will bless generations in HICO. As we focus on the impact that you have had on our families, we want to bless you and your growing family. Congratulations on joining the Grandparent Club. It is just as awesome as everybody tells you. And we want to present you with a gift certificate for a family photo session with Lacey King Photography for $1,500. So it says, thank you both for being part of some of the most memorable moments of our lives. Your presence has made every experience richer and more meaningful. Much love and gratitude, the Church Body of Grace Bible Fellowship. Wow. So, now we did not go to the trouble to get your family together. Good luck with that. That's anybody who knows that that's the challenge, but we helped a little.
Thank you, Shelly.
I know this isn't something you're going to love to do, probably, yes. But you're going to love the result.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yes, thank you.
Might not be a fun experience, but it'll be
fun for her. She'll love it. I guarantee she'll love it. She just told me the baby's not here yet.
Baby's
so.
Not here yet, but I'm waiting for the text. So if I take off and I'm not over there, then I'm heading to Norman. So thank you.
Thank y'all. Ironically, a friend of mine that I baptized his kids in a lake sent me a text this morning saying, just know you're loved as you go to church. And pastor your church this morning. He sent me a picture. I looked a lot better back then. But he sent me a picture of me baptizing his boys in a lake. And yeah, and the granddad is one of my best friends ever. lived on a ranch out here. And anyway, like he used to tell me, man, Irvin, I don't know what's wrong, but the older I get, the more I feel like I can cry at a spring track meet. Now I know what that dude's talking about. But anyway, thank y'all. We love y'all. Y'all are such a great blessing. I've been part of a lot, but this is by far the best group of people I've ever been part of in my life. And I've had the privilege of serving at some great churches, but none like this. Thank y'all for loving the Lord. And thank y'all for following Him and not man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And I thank you for this church family. And once again, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.